This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. We were in the midst of the chapter on the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, discussing the garments and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear. So we covered about half of the chapter. So we, inshallah, start from hadith number 62 today to the end of the chapter. Firstly, let's read through the ahadith first, the narrations. وبالإسناد المتصل منا إلى الإمام الترمذي قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا معاذ بن هشام قال حدثني أبي عن قتادة عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسه الحبر وبه قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا عبد الرزاق قال حدثنا سفيان الثوري عن عون بن أبي جحيفة عن أبيه قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه حلة حمراء كأني أنظر إلى بريق ساقيه قال سفيان أراها حبرة وبه قال حدثنا علي بن خشرم قال حدثنا عيسى بن يونس عن إسرائيل عن أبي إسحاق عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال ما رأيت أحدا من الناس أحسن في حلة حمراء من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن كانت جمته لتضرب قريبا من منكبيه وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي قال حدثنا عبيد الله بن إياد عن أبيه عن أبي رمثة قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه بردان أخضران وبه قال حدثنا عبد بن حميد قال حدثنا عفان بن مسلم قال حدثنا عبد الله بن حسان العنبري عن جدتيه دحيبة وعليبة عن قيلة بنت مخرمة قالت رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه أسمال مليتين كانتا بزعفران وقد نفضته وفي الحديث قصة طويلة وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا بشر بن المفضل عن عبد الله بن عثمان بن خيثم عن سعيد بن جبير عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالبياض من الثياب ليلبسها أحياؤكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم فإنها من خير ثيابكم قال وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي قال حدثنا سفيان عن حبيب بن أبي ثابت عن ميمون بن أبي شبيب عن سمرة بن جندب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم البسوا البياض فإنها أطهر وأطيب وكفنوا فيها موتاكم وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن منيع قال حدثنا يحيى بن زكريا بن أبي زائدة قال حدثنا أبي عن مصعب بن شيبة عن صفية بنت شيبة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات غداة وعليه مرت من شعر أسود وبه قال حدثنا يوسف بن عيسى قال حدثنا وكيع قال حدثنا يونس بن أبي إسحاق عن أبيه عن الشعبي عروة بن المغيرة بن شعبة عن أبيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لبس جبة رومية ضيقة الكمين. Look at hadith number 62. It's related from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. He says that كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the most beloved type of clothing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yalbasuhu, that he used to wear. So this is as opposed to what he may lay down, he may use as for some other purpose. This is what he used to actually wear. The best, the most beloved was the hibara. This hibara was a type of shawl or sheet, a kind of a garment that used to come from Yemen. It used to be made of cotton, and the specific characteristic of it, I think we may have discussed it last time, is that it used to have red lines in it. So as we discussed, I mean, sometimes a particular area is well known to make a certain pattern of clothing. And then in that, they could have different types of colors. But in this particular case, it was a specific cloth that was made. It was an expertise of that area, apparently. It's come from Yemen. As just like the Qitri cloth that we spoke about last time as well. So it looks like that qitri cloth was from Yemen, and now this hibara, this was a type of a shawl that was made from Yemen, and it had red lines in it. Sometimes they would also make them with blue lines or green lines, but the most famous ones were red. So it was. This is what Anas radiallahu anhu is describing, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had one of these sheets on. Qurtubi says that it could also refer to hibara, doesn't necessarily have to be from Yemen, or it could be called hibara because it's muhabbar, which means that it's nicely designed. That's what the word means. Now, what was it that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like about it? It was very soft. It was very supple. It was very soft. This particular shawl was very soft. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like it because it was very conducive to his body and his skin. He liked it. Because if you got rough cloth, it's going to irritate you. However, we did read earlier that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to also like clothing that wasn't very necessarily very soft. He didn't always go for clothing that was very soft. He used to try to keep it slightly rough as well, so that it's not necessarily the softest of the cloth. So in that sense, what we understand from there then is that it could be that that which was sewn next to the skin, the qamis, that could be slightly rough, that's okay. But then this one, which was a shawl, which was worn on top, it's okay for that to be soft. So he used to like it for that. Or it's possible that he used to like the qamis when he was in the inside of the house, and he used to like the shawl when he was outside. So it's possible that when it says that the most beloved cloth, it could be in different circumstances. It doesn't mean that he had one favorite cloth and he used to wear it throughout. It could be one favorite cloth for the inside when he was with his family, with his wives, or it could mean another cloth that when he was outside in the public. You have a coat that you really like, or a jacket that you really like, and you have maybe something that you really like to wear at home. You know, some people, they just enjoy wearing a lungi at home, right? Because it's just much more comfortable. And a t-shirt, right? There was a friend of mine, he used to get these oversized t-shirts and a lungi, and that's what, it was so comfortable. Triple X, 4X t-shirts. He was a really big guy anyway. So it's so comfortable. Lungi and a t-shirt. This was in California, it was quite hot there. And then it's also possible that the hadith doesn't mean the absolute most beloved to him, among the most beloved to him. So all of these are possibilities. The next hadith is hadith number 63, which is related from Abu Juhayfa, from his father, who says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I once saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam outside Makkah. This was in those areas outside Makkah, which is called the Batha'u Makkah, right? A specific piece of land outside Makkah. That's where I saw him. In fact, he'd come out, and this time he says in another hadith, which is related by Imam Bukhari, it says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there in a red garment. Now, we've discussed this before as to whether it was completely red, and it was before the prohibition of red, or it was this hibara kind of clothing which had red stripes in there. And because that was the kind of distinguishable color to make out, that's why the Sahabi said he had this reddish color garment on. So he says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, this is a very interesting hadith, because this is the one that gives you a bit more detail about how the Sahaba used to interact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were people around him, and they were just rushing to try to catch any drop that came off his body when he was making wudu. So whatever anybody was able to catch off that, they wouldn't let it fall to the ground. Everybody tried to get a bit, they would wipe it over their faces. Then after that, people went away, and people stood up afterwards, and then what they started doing was they took his hands and they were passing it over their faces to get the barakah, to get the blessing from him. So Abu Juhayfa's father says that I also did the same thing. I also took hold of his hand and I put it on my face. And he said that it was cooler than snow, and it was more pleasant in its fragrance, in its smell, than musk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just performed wudu, and it must have been a hot day. So this was a particular aspect that was to be noted, that it felt so cool, it felt as though it was cooler than snow. That's the way he describes it. And its fragrance was so intense, like musk, better than musk, in fact, it says. وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ حَمْرَى. So according to that narration here in this book, in Tirmidhi, says that he had this reddish garment on. And then he says, كَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَىٰ بَرِيقِ سَاقَيْهِ. I can just recall myself, he's kind of relating his experience, that I remember looking at the shine of his calves, which means the part above the foot. And essentially what that tells us is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not wear his garments long, as confirmed by other hadiths as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's garments did not reach his ankles. In fact, it reached halfway between his knees and his ankles. So here by this you could actually see it, see his calves by that. Then he says, Sufyan, who's one of the narrators, he says that uraha hibara, my interpretation of this narration, what he had on, is that it was this hibara, this hibari cloth. So when he describes it as a red garment, Sufyan says that this is what my understanding is, that this was must have been one of those hibara cloths or sheets that came from Yemen, which had the red lines in them. Now there's a big difference of opinion about red cloth. There are some scholars who've actually permitted it based on this hadith. They just looked at literal understanding of this hadith and said red should be fine. But the majority say no. Some say it's makruh, some say it's more than makruh, that totally to be avoided. Some say it depends. The reason why it's wrong is because it's like feminine clothing, or it's because of what these kind of really blatant, transgressing type of people used to wear, just to be very flashy about it. So that's why it's wrong. There's nothing intrinsically wrong about it. But then there is an occasion where somebody came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he had cloth that was colored in red, but that was dyed red using usfur, another plant of some sort. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to get rid of it. He said, "What should I wash it off, or what should I?" He says, "No, burn it." So he was really angry at that time. So because of this being so intense, that's why the strongest opinion is that you avoid it. There's also an opinion that outside it's wrong to be flashy and so on, but you could wear it inside the house. However, I think the concluding factor is that it cannot be considered haram because the Prophet ﷺ wore some aspect of it, whether it was completely red or it was lined red. Lined red would be okay anyway, but something with more red than that, then it's better to avoid it unless there's an absolute need to wear it for whatever reason, which I can't think about anyway. For example, the way Imam Malik, rahimahullah, the way he explains it, he says, "I don't know it to be haram. I can't say it's haram, but غيره أحب إلي, something other than it is more beloved to me." Meaning, I'd rather avoid it because of the possibility of it being haram or wrong. The next hadith is hadith number 64, in which it's something we've covered before, but the author has brought it back here. This is related from Bara ibn Azib radiallahu an. We read it when he was speaking about the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu says that, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا مِنَ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنَ فِي حُلَّةٍ حَمْرَاءَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَلَّلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنْ كَانَتْ جُمَّتُهُ لَتَضْرِبُ قَرِيبًا مِنْ مَنْكِبَيْهِ. I've never seen anybody that looked better, that looked more excellent in a red garment, in a red suit, than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his long hair was hitting close to his shoulders. So it was extended nearly close to his shoulders. As we've explained before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally had longer hair than short hair. The next hadith is hadith number 65. And this one, Imam Tirmidhi relates from Abu Rimtha, who says that, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had two sheets on. He was covered in two sheets, burdan. Burdun is like a sheet, a shawl of some sort. And it was green." So far the kind of garment we've heard is qamis, is very beloved. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear different types of sheets, right? Shawls that came from different places, right? So, and then you hear that there was one with red stripes, and this one is green clothes, the color green. And there's another virtue to green, because it is the the clothing of the people of paradise. One of the reasons why it's probably used in paradise, it's the most natural kind of color. Because it's the color of nature outside. Good nature, beauty of beautiful nature, which is the greenery. So the fact that it's going to be worn in paradise as the chosen color, and the paradise is supposed to be the best of everything, then that in itself is sufficient an honor. So I think to be practical about this, because we're reading this, one is that we just read it and we revel in it. Another thing is that we're going to hear the virtue of white. So alhamdulillah, I see a lot more white today, right? And there's still a lot of black, but I guess it's okay with white. But the other thing is that let's try to get something that's green as well. Just because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore green. And it's the color of paradise, so it's a good symbolism. So get something that's green, whatever that may be. Whether it be a turban, or a shawl for that matter, or a garment of some sort, a green garment. Not kind of lime green, right? Some decent green, respectable, honorable green. We'll leave the lime green and all of that stuff to the women. Right? That's their sunnah. So there's another hadith from Ya'la ibn Umayyah. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once made tawaf around the house of Allah, and he had on a green shawl. So maybe at that time it was permissible. Later, only white was allowed. Right. So he had a green cloth on in which he was making tawaf at that time. Or it could have been a nafil tawaf. He was not necessarily in ihram. He was just making a nafil tawaf while he was there. The next hadith is hadith number 66, which is related from a person whose name is Abdullah ibn Hassan al-Ambari. He relates this from his two grandmothers, maternal and paternal grandmother. They were actually closely related, right? So both his maternal and paternal grandmothers, he relates this hadith from them. According to this version, it says their names were Duhayba and Ulayba. But according to the more correct opinion, their names were Duhayba and Safiya, daughters of Ulayba. So Ulayba was the great-great-grandmother. And they relate this hadith from another woman, Qayla binti Makhrama. Qayla binti Makhrama. And she was from the Sahabiyat. So this is a narration of, in which there are many women narrators. She says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ra'aytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi asmal mulayyatayn kanata biza'afran wa qad nafadathu. So essentially what she's saying is, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had these two garments on him. Like these two over garments on him. The description she gives is that they were really worn out. So now we hear a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described as wearing something that's worn out. You could tell that these were old and worn. Clean is a different story. But these were old and worn. That's what it means. A smell. When a cloth is very worn. So it's mulayyatayn. Kanata bi za'afran. Which means that they used to be colored with za'afran. But then to clarify that he wasn't wearing yellow, crimson colored clothing that were colored with za'afran, which he's prohibited. She says, qad nafadathu. That the color had been dissolved, had disappeared. So at one time it used to be colored like that, and it wasn't like that anymore. So maybe the Prophet ﷺ had acquired it from somewhere like that, but this was very old, worn clothing that the color had totally receded from. So this shows that the Prophet ﷺ also had that. Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his commentary, he relates that the Prophet ﷺ once even paid 27 camels for a piece of cloth, a garment, and then he wore it as well. And then he didn't. I mean, 27 camels. To give you an idea of what one camel costs today, it should cost over £500 for a camel today. All right. So when you're talking about 27 times 500, we're talking about a huge amount. I don't want you running to Harrods tomorrow. Okay, just to do that. Because then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to buy it, wear it, and then give it away in sadaqah. Right. So if you want to do that, you could do that. But I'm sure you could spend that much money in sadaqah just like that. And the poor person might appreciate. The Prophet ﷺ had a purpose for which he did what he did. is to show that if there is a wealthy person and that's the kind of clothing you wear, it's permissible. Now the ajeeb thing is that you see two sides. You see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing both things. His insight, his practice, his thought was just so extensive that he had a whole ummah. Can you imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an extremist and he just focused on one thing on one side, how difficult the deen would have been for us? I'm talking about extremists in a negative sense. He was extreme when it came to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt about those things where it had to be. But he did so many different things, so flexible in those things that allowed for later people that if there is somebody who wants to renounce the world and wear something that's worn out, absolutely do so. And then some of the Sahaba picked that up and did exactly that. Umar radiallahu, until the last moment he did that. He goes into Jerusalem as a conqueror like that. And yet there's others like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Muawiyah radiallahu, they saw the times had changed, so then they took on good clothing because they had to make an impression. Otherwise people would look down and would not respect them. Then you see the ulama later on do the same thing. Imam Malik used to do that. And others used to do that. But the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all these different things, he showed what the preference was, that normally he would do a particular thing to show the preference for that thing, because that was the best. And he says, I want to be gathered among the fuqara. But then he showed where it's permissible to do something else as well. Right. Now, in terms of that, it's related from Aisha radiallahu anha, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, and this confirms this state, his normal state, right? Despite the fact that he had good clothing on sometimes as well. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, if you want to be with me, meaning in paradise, فَلْتَكُنْ بُلْغَتُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا كَزَادِ الرَّاكِبِ, then make sure that your provision, whatever you carry with you of the dunya, is as much as a person who's on a journey. How much can you take? A normal person. Not a person, not a king who goes with an entourage, takes everything with them. No, this is speaking about a normal person. How much should they take with them? وَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلِي ثَوْبًا حَتَّى تُرْقِعِيهِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَمُجَالَسَةَ الْأَغْنِيَا, and do not change your garment until you have to patch it up. So wear it until it becomes so worn that it needs patches, and only after that are you able to remove it, to change it. And be careful, beware of sitting with wealthy people, because the love of good things will come into your heart. There was one of the sheikhs of the Haramain, he just came to South Africa, and one of the ulama who was with him was explaining to me. He said that we would go to, you know, when he was taken to a rich person's house, the sheikh would look around, he'd realize that this is a rich person, and he'd tell me very quietly, he says, أَعْتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا كَثِيرًا نَذْهَبْ مِنْ هُنَاكَ نَذْهَبْ مِنْ هُنَا, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot to this man, let's get out of here, right? So he'd sit for a bit out of respect and then he would leave, just so that the love of these things would not come into your heart. So there's people like that today as well. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that Aisha radiallahu anha, after this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she lived for a very long time afterwards. Abu Hurairah reports that she used to give sadaqah of 10,000. She used to give 10,000 just like that in sadaqah, whereas her garment that she had on would be patched up. So she wouldn't spend on herself after that. She would just give out. And she would say, لا حاجة لي في الدنيا بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I have no need in this world after Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Somebody said to Salman al-Farsi رضي الله عنه, مالك لا تلبس الخز من الثياب, why don't you wear good excellent clothing, silk and other clothing? He says, ما للعبد وللثوب الحسن, what's it, a slave and a good clothing, why should that, those two get together? And then he said, if a servant is freed from the hellfire, then he will have the best of clothing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will never be worn out. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an used to go around and he used to have patched garments, as we spoke about earlier. One occasion, 12 patches he had, out of which two were from leather. So they weren't even from like the same kind of clothing. On the day of Jerusalem, when he had to go to receive the keys of the city, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu said to him that, could you wear something else? You know, could you change your garment? In fact, towards the end, afterwards, some of the Sahaba got together and they knew that they didn't have the guts to go to him. They sent Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anha to him, that you go and tell him that you just want two things. One is, will instead of this really basic coarse food that you eat, we'll give you something special. Just one and something else. So they were the only ones. Hafsa radiallahu anha said, look, don't bother. He's not going to change. You're wasting your time. But they still went because the other Sahaba told them to go. And finally, when they did go, he started crying. And he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, out of all the people, you're the one who come to tell me this, to pull me to the world? I would have thought you would have told me something else. He made her feel so guilty. She had obviously only gone because the Sahaba had really pushed her to go. He, until the last minute, his focus was totally different. So then he replied, he says, إِنَّا قَوْمٌ أَعِزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنْ طَلَبْنَا الْعِزَّ بِغَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. We are a people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored by Islam. And when we go to seek honor in anything other than Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate us. Now, he is speaking about it in a context you have to understand. It's not about the clothing. That wasn't the issue. The thing was that the reasoning they were giving of why he should change his clothing, he should improve his clothing, is because of what the others were doing, the Romans were doing. So then he was saying, you're not supposed to learn things from them like that. We've already got an honor given to us. So it wasn't about the clothing in particular, it's about why they wanted him to wear different clothing. So one must realize that. Because Islam doesn't tell us that you have to wear worn out clothing. Because in fact, the majority of the scholars afterwards did not do that. They followed the path that an alim, a sheikh, and a scholar must look imposing. Because they'll have more respect on people, and people will respect him more. They won't humiliate and look down upon them. Because this is the way people are. You see somebody dressed shabbily, in worn-out clothing, it doesn't give them the same impact as somebody who's dressed smart and decent and elegantly. That's what's important. That's why the ulama, later on, that's what they said. So it's not that he was condemning the use of good clothing. It was just in the context that they had given him that mashwara. You see, what happened later on in the kind of Middle Ages afterwards is that this kind of clothing became a rough kind of clothing, wool, and rough kind of clothing became kind of a sign of the Sufis. People that were cut away, the Zuhad really, that were cut away from the world. Then people began to abuse that look. So whoever wanted to make some money and wanted people to feel sorry for them and to make sadaqah on them, they started to wear this kind of clothing, grow very long beards and look all disheveled just so that people would feel sorry for them. So it's gone through a number of changes in terms of the way people did these things. Sheikh Abul Hassan Ash-Shadhili, he used to wear very elegant, the Naqshbandis, among the Sufi orders, the Naqshbandis and the Shadhilis are known to be focused on very elegant dress their appearances, the way they do their mustache, especially the Naqshbandis as well. So Sheikh Abul Hassan Ash-Shadhili, there was a person that came to him who had really worn out clothing, and he kind of criticized him. He criticized Sheikh Abul Hassan Ash-Shadhili, what's this elegant clothing you're wearing? So he said to him, Ya hadha, oh so and so, you know, Hay'ati hadhihi taqulu alhamdulillah, wa hay'atuka hadhihi taqulu a'tuni min dunyakum shay'an lillah. So he said that this state of mind, it proclaims all praises to Allah. So when somebody sees me like this, they're thinking, all praises to Allah, look how nice that is. Your state, the way you look, it proclaims, give me some of your dunya for the sake of Allah. So it beggars people. It's actually calling out to people. That's why if the niyyah is correct when you wear these things, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And if it's done for the sake of protecting yourself, like even if a person is poor but they wear decent clothing outside so people don't know they're poor and don't have to feel sorry for them and so on, because they only want to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And a person is distant from showing off and fame, and he's doing this just to show the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on him, without being arrogant and boasting about it, then to wear good clothing would be praiseworthy. And today I think this is the situation. To wear good, elegant clothing is considered praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man harrama zinat Allah," who is the one who makes the zina, the elegance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, who makes it haram? Why should you make it haram on yourself? أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق. Why should you prohibit yourself from these things? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is elegant, Allah is beautiful, and He loves beauty and elegance. Another hadith in the Sunan says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعَمِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah likes to see the effects of His blessings on His servant. He's blessed you with something and you don't express it. You make people feel like you got nothing, that Allah hasn't blessed you with that. That's wrong. It's okay if people know. That's a different story. Once this person comes to Imam Abu Hanifa, he's got really worn out clothing. After everybody goes, Imam Abu Hanifa calls him and tries to give him some money, that go, you know, asli hala, go and reform yourself. So he says, I'm not in need of this, I've got money. He says, and why do you make yourself look like you need help? So it's not a good idea to do that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sometimes dress up, especially when it was for the wufud, for the delegations that used to come. This was the first time they were coming. There had to be an impact on them sometimes. The local people knew him, so it doesn't matter how casual he was, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have pretenses. But when there were people coming, you have to then set up for it. He used to have different types of turbans for them as well that he used to wear. Imam Nasa'i relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw a man, and he had clothing that was really inferior type. And he said to him, "Hallaka min malin," do you have some wealth? Meaning, do you have wealth? I mean, have you got money? And he said, yes, I have. He says, what type of wealth do you have? He said, maybe, you know, he had a horse or something like that. So he says, what type of wealth do you have? He says, min kulli malin. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me all types of wealth. I've got cows, and I've got cattle, and I've got camels and so on. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ma ataka Allah min malin fal yura alayka." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so much, why isn't it seen on you then? Why isn't it seen on you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so many bounties, then why are you doing this? Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. The bounties of your Lord, proclaim them. This is one way that you wear decent clothing. Not showing off, just to wear decent clothing so people will respect you. Imam Bazzar relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua. It's a very famous dua, and we should make it. Allahumma ja'alni shakuran, waj'alni saburan, waj'alni fi ayni saghiran, wa fi ayuni nasi kabiran. Oh Allah, make me thankful. Make me of the grateful ones. Make me of the patient ones when it's required. Make me, in my eyes, make me small. And in the eyes of people, make me big. So what the ulama explain is that if you consider yourself small, then it doesn't matter how great people consider you, it's not going to affect you. Because it's about the secret of fame and arrogance, and all of these things is about what we consider ourselves. That's why this dua is very powerful, that make me small in my sight first. It doesn't matter how, and make me big in the eyes of people, just so they will respect me. They will give me back my haq, if my rights, if they owe it to me. They won't take me for a ride. These are the kind of benefits that are gained by this kind of a dua and dressing this way. See, what the ulama say is that when people look at the outside, they look at the way you are. Then in that case, then you have to be able to keep yourself in a way. Because how many people are you going to go to explain that no, it's not like this, or it's different? Especially if it's in a halal thing. If it's in a haram thing, it's a different story. That's why there's a poet, Hilal ibn Hudhayl. He was a ulama, he was an alim as well. He said, "Hassin thiyabaka mastata'ta fa innaha zainur rijali biha tu'azzu wa tukramu wa da'i tawadu'a fil libasi takhashunan. فالله يعلم ما تسر وتكتم فرثاث ثوبك لا يزيدك رفعة عند الإله وأنت عبد مجرم وجديد ثوبك لا يضرك بعدما تخشى الإله وتتقي ما يحرم." Make your clothing nice. as much as you can. For the elegance of men is the thing by which they gain respect and honor. And abandon this humility in clothing, so that you're going after rough cloth or rough clothing. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in your heart and what you hide. Because these were people who used to wear this kind of clothing that were claiming to be cut away from the dunya. So he says, it's about what's in your heart. Then he says, the worn nature of your clothing is not going to elevate you, not increase you in elevation in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are a transgressor inside. And your new clothing will not harm you. If you have new clothing, it will not harm you after you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you abstain from his harams. Imam Malik rahimahullah used to wear excellent clothing. Imam Abu Hanifa, the same thing. Imam Abu Yusuf once went to, Imam Abu Yusuf relates, he was with Harun al-Rashid in Baghdad. He was with Harun al-Rashid in Baghdad, but this story didn't necessarily take place in Baghdad. He says, I was with Harun al-Rashid, the great Khalif. And Imam Malik, he came to see him. He came to see Harun al-Rashid. And he had this black adani. Again, Adan seems to be from Yemen, capital of Yemen, Adan. He had this black adani cloth, clothing on. And Imam Abu Yusuf says, Wallahi ma ra'aytu shay'an qattu ahsana minhu. I've never seen anything as beautiful as that. Imam Malik just walked in with this black, elegant piece of adani clothing. Right? Such that Imam Abu Yusuf was totally amazed. Harun al-Rashid moved up for him on his, wherever he was sitting, and made him sit next to him. That's why the Ahlul Ilm says that it is necessary, especially for the people of knowledge, that they should, it's part of the manliness, it's part of good honor and dignity, that they should do this to respect the knowledge that they have. Because Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, now he didn't like it for himself, but he used to say that I would love it that the Qari has white clothing on. The Qari, the people who recite the Quran, they should wear white clothing on. And I like it that the people of knowledge and piety, they should have good clothing on and elegant clothing on. That is permissible. There was a very pious individual whose name was Sayyar. He once entered Basra and he wanted to visit Malik ibn Dinar. So he goes in, he goes to Basra and he goes to the gathering. He had some really nice clothing on, some garments on. So he started praying salat, and his salat was very beautiful as well. So Malik ibn Dinar didn't recognize him, he didn't know him from before he'd heard about him. And he saw him praying this really long salat and this beautiful clothing. And it was imposing. You were attracted to the sight. You just couldn't miss the sight. So he sat there and waited. So then Sayyar finished, and this Malik ibn Dinar, who is known to be a really pious individual, he said to him, "Hadi salat wa hadi thiyab," this really, you know, long salat that you perform, this beautifully, you know, slow, long salat you perform, and these clothing, he kind of remarked, like, what's, give me some background. So Sayyar said, "Thiyabi hadihi tarfa'uni indak aw tada'ani." He asked him a question. He said, "This clothing that you see on me, do they raise me in your eyes or do they put me down in your eyes?" So he was very honest. He said, "They put me down, they put you down in my eyes." So he said, "That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be put down in your eyes." Right? Because if he knew who he was speaking to, he would have, you know. So then he said, "Ya Malik, inni la ahsibu thawbayka hadhaini qad anzalaka min nafsika ma lam yanziluka Allah wa ma lam yanziluka Allah." Because it looks like Malik ibn Dinar didn't have that great clothing on. So then Sayyar's response to him was that, "What I think is that your clothing is putting you more down in yourself than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put your status. Like, you're putting yourself more lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you by putting these clothing on. You're putting yourself more down than Allah has put you." So pious people, they understand. These people have insight. They understand when somebody says the right thing. So Malik, he began to cry. He began to weep. And he said, "Anta Sayyar, you must be Sayyar." And he said, "Yes, I am." So he embraced him. And then he sat in front of him. So at the end of the day, then it's about intention of why you wear what you wear. And this is what we learn from our pious predecessors. Aisha radiallahu anha reports that the Prophet was inside the house. And a group of Sahaba were outside. They'd just come to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wanted to see him about something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house, probably casually dressed. And quickly, to go outside, he got up and there was some water there. So he looked into it like a mirror to make sure that his hair and his beard was fine. Because the Prophet was very particular about keeping his hair combed and his oiling it and so on. So he was probably lying in the house, and when this happened, he went and looked into it to make sure that he straightened out his hair and his beard. And Aisha radiallahu anha was surprised. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, wa anta taf'al hadha?" You know, "Ya Rasulullah, you do this as well?" So he said, "Na'am, idha kharaja ar-rajul ila ikhwani falyuhayyi min nafsihi. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ." That if a person goes out to see his friends, his brothers, then he should prepare for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and he likes beauty. That's what he said at the time. Now, it mentions in Ihya Ulumuddin that sometimes somebody might read this story and say, well, the Prophet, you know, there are people who say that this is kind of a shirk, that you're beautifying yourself for somebody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not necessarily shirk, but this is some kind of hypocrisy or something of that nature. That this is, you're doing it for the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to remember where he was coming from. He was here for da'wah. He was a da'i. And he had, if he, it's okay if he was casual sometimes. But sometimes he just felt that he had to be dressed in a particular way or he had to appear in a particular way so that the impact would be greater in what he said and what he did. Because the ulama mentioned that when you're not dressed so well, you're all disheveled and people lose the respect for you. Especially if you're a respectable individual. That's why some ulama, I remember I went to one alim's house. And I went out of my room to the main room where he was without my hat on and he was shocked. This is not the majority, but this is one particular friend of mine who I know. He was quite surprised. He said, "Oh, you came without a hat." I said, "Why? What's wrong with that?" It's quite normal, I mean, to be without a hat in the house. What's the problem with it? So he says, and so he would always have a hat on, but that was his level of haya, I guess, and that's fine. Then Imam Tirmidhi says that this is a very big story. This is a very long hadith. There's a big story behind this particular hadith. We've been on this hadith for a very long time, and the hadith was which one? It was the one in which it says this Sahabiya says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he had these worn out clothing on. Right? He had this worn out clothing that were colored with za'afran at one time, but now there was no color left on there. So Imam Tirmidhi says that there's a very long story here which I haven't included because the purpose of this hadith is to just show you about the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what is that story? So it's a very long story, so we're not going to go into it in depth, but it's very simple. Ibn Hajar relates, as related by Imam Tabarani, that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. Wa alayka assalam wa rahmatullah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these worn out garments on at that time. Now, look at this. What it's explaining is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was squatting. He was sitting in his squat. He had these worn out garments on, exactly as described in this hadith, exactly as described, that were originally colored with, dyed with saffron, saffron. But the color had receded. And he had a small stick from a palm branch. And the way he looked in that particular situation was so awe-inspiring that this person who had come in began to totally tremble. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Alayka sakina," should have tranquility descend upon you. So then the Sahabi says that this awe that I was feeling and this trembling that had overcome me, it suddenly disappeared when the Prophet ﷺ said that to me. So that's the story. But it's a very lengthy story. It goes on a bit longer and much more detailed than that. But that's enough for us to understand. The next hadith is hadith number 67, which is related from Sa'id ibn Jubayr from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now so far, just to clarify, because we don't want to lose track of what we've read, red lined clothing, red garment of some sort, green clothing, shawl, sheet, and qamis. Now, and from Yemen, right? It's possible that it was made by Muslims. It was possible that it may have not been, because we don't know if that particular area had embraced Islam then, or most likely it may have, because much of Yemen had come under Islam anyway, right? But we don't know for sure. We've got a hadith coming in front that shows that it's permissible to wear garments from non-Muslims, because the Prophet ﷺ wore them from Sham or Rome, a nice big jubba on top. But this one is now encouragement, which is direct encouragement. So far, it's about what Rasulullah ﷺ was wearing, right? What he was observed as wearing. Now, in this one, it's not what he was observed as wearing, it's what he says you should wear. So now listen to this very carefully. This hadith is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah ﷺ said, عليكم بالبياض من الثياب ليلبسها أحياؤكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم فإنها من خير ثيابكم. He said, you must adopt white clothing. You must take on white clothing. You must use white clothing. Because, and then he says, your living should wear it, and you should also bury your dead in it. You should also shroud your dead in it. So both your living and your dead people should wear it. White clothing should dominate, because it is the best of your clothing. It is the best of the cloth or the garments that you could buy is white. In the next hadith, he will say it's the most atiyab, it's the most pure, and the most, we'll wait for that hadith. But essentially, he did not say here the most beloved or the most superior. He said khair, with the most goodness in it. And the reason is that it's possibly green is superior, most virtue, because of it being the cloth of paradise. So, or it could mean that it's both. So green and white we see great praise for. It's also related that the most beloved color to Allah. So, you know, people are like, what's Allah's favorite color? You know, there's people who say that, right? So it's related that the most beloved color to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is white. The next hadith, which supports this hadith, is related from Samura ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, now both of these ahadith are verbal statements of Rasulullah. In this one again, he said, ilbasul bayad, wear white clothing. In fact, he doesn't say wear white clothing, he says wear white. To make it so particular, just wear white. To make it more significant. فَإِنَّهَا أَطْهَرُ, because it is the most purest of clothing. It's the most purest of colors, white. وَأَطْيَبُ, and it is the most excellent. So what does أَطْهَر and أَطْيَب mean? Athar normally means tahir, from tahara, means clean. And the reason is that if you've got colored clothing, if it's colored and it becomes soiled, you can get away with it. When it's white and you get a speck on there, it shows, so you have to wash it. So white clothing is going to be washed more. It's going to be looked after more, because you're going to make sure that nothing touches it. You've got black clothing, you're just going to walk right through, no problem, right? That's the problem with jeans. They never get dirty. Okay. So when it's white, it's going to stay more clothing. The other thing is, the way you could wash white, you could be more rough with it, because you're not worried about losing color. So you could put bleach and you could put all sorts of things in there. So normally, white is probably going to be cleaned the most. That's why at home in laundries, you have the whites and then you have the coloreds, right? Because they're normally done differently. Atiyab, the reason why it's the most excellent and the best, Atiyab is from Tayyib. Tayyib is opposed to Khabith, right? So the word Khabith. Normally the word Tayyib is used for halal. So white is going to be the most halal of your cloth. And probably the reason for that is that white is a clothing where it's not bright, whatever other color, so that you show off with it. It's just white, simple, straightforward white. So it's going to be more cleaner for your nafs as well. it's also probably easier to deal with because you don't have to worry about the color. I mean, we don't dye clothing nowadays, but in those days they used to have white cloth and they used to go to a dye and have it dyed and so on, whatever color they wanted. And then the other thing is that since it's going to be given to your dead as well, it's a symbolism towards that this is, we're going with purity and with nothing. We don't have any baggage even in terms of color on our cloth, on our garment. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ. And the reason why you normally keep on the deceased, you use white, is because it's to show cleanliness. One of the du'as you read for a mayyit is اللَّهُمَّ اغْسِلْهُ بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ وَنَقِّهِ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا كَمَا يُنَقَّ الثَّوْبُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ. Right? اللَّهُمَّ اغْسِلْهُ, oh Allah, wash him بِالْمَاءِ, with water, with hail and with snow. Like wash him with everything that you could wash him with. And purify him from sins, just like white cloth is cleansed from all types of dirt. So that's why we put white cloth on there as a symbol of purity and cleanliness from sins, so that the person is forgiven. That's one of the benefits of using white for the deceased. And thus it's also one of the benefits that if a person has white, it's a symbol to protect us from sins. That we, just like we're going to not want any blemish on our clothing, we don't want anything to touch it, and we're very careful about where we are and what happens to it, and we keep it clean, we want to keep our inside and our heart clean as well. So if we do make a sin, we'll make tawbah, but we're going to try to be careful. This could be one of the reasons why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged white so much. And the Prophet ﷺ is related to have worn white, which is going to come later in the chapter on the turban of Rasulullah ﷺ, says that he had white clothing on. So now we've got another color to add, white clothing. White is something, mashallah, what you wear, you get one of these thobes, you're going to have white. You know, these duffa and all these things, you're going to get white anyway. But green is something we need to get, right still. The next one is hadith number 69, which is related from Aisha radiallahu anha. If you notice, most of these ahadith were not from Aisha radiallahu anha about the clothes. She didn't really speak about the clothing and everything as much. But in this case, it says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out in the afternoon, and he had on a long sheet, a long shawl. This is wa alayhi mirtun min sha'rin aswad. That was from black hair. So it was made from some kind of hair, right? Cloth that had hair on it. There's other hadith that describe this, that it was something that had some kind of different patterns on it. So it was something that he walked outside with, just on top, covering himself. So that's a kind of a shawl with some kind of hair on it. Could be some kind of furry cloth that it was. And the last hadith is hadith number 70, which is related from Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu an, from his father Mughira. Sorry, it's related from Urwa ibn Mughira ibn Shu'bah. So Mughira ibn Shu'bah is the narrator of it. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once wore a jubba. Now, in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, you refer to jubba is normally the long tunic, that the normal tunic that you wear, which in the Arab countries you mostly call it a jillabiyya or a thawb, like the normal clothing that you wear. But a jubba here actually refers to like an overcoat, an overgarment, a long kind of shawl that you wear over everything. And essentially what this was a two, you can say, this was a like the coats we have today, or jackets, where you have two sides to it, you have a lining, and you have the outside, and it would be filled with something. So it was either filled with cotton, or it was filled with wool. So this was for the warmth of it. And this was something that was normally made from Sham, from Syria, which was Christian at that time. So it's in this hadith, in one narration it says Sham, in another one it says Rumiya, Roman. So this proves that the Prophet ﷺ wore an imported garment, especially for the outside, right? Because he was traveling. This most likely, this took place during the expedition of Tabuk. And then in this description it says that وَعَلَيْهِ جُبَّةٌ رُومِيَّةٌ. Well, actually, it says labisa anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam labisa jubbatan rumiyatan dayyiqat al-kummayn. The part of the sleeve was very tight. So what is reported as in Bukhari and so on is that this was had some wool in it as well. And the other thing was that this was on a journey, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to make wudu, and he washed his face, and then he wasn't able to push up his sleeve. So it says that he took out his sleeve from underneath and washed his arms from underneath. And then they got a bit delayed. So when they went back to the people, for some reason they felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gone somewhere or whatever the story was. They'd put Abdurrahman ibn Auf forward to lead the salat. It was a Fajr prayer. So he's the only other person who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed behind. He caught him in the second rak'ah. So he prayed behind him, and then when he made salam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to finish his salat off. So the only other person that he's prayed behind is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf is one of the 10 Sahaba to be given the glad tidings of paradise. So this shows that there's nothing wrong with wearing non-Muslim clothing as such, made by them, as long as it serves a particular purpose. Not to copy some fashion or something. That's the main thing. What the ulama say in here is that you don't want to wear any kind of clothing that are normally worn by fusaq. So if a person goes around, be careful when you wear hoodies, right? Because based on this, that would be an issue. I mean, the police don't like people wearing hoodies anyway, right? Because whenever you see that, especially when you're kind of slouching around. If you wear a hoodie, wear an elegant one and keep the hood off, or keep it in a way that you don't look shady character, right? And the other thing you don't want to do is you don't want to start putting these big chains and rings on, right? All the bling bling stuff. Because again, it shows that it's a sign of a particular type of person. Right. Also, if you're wearing baggy pants, baggy jeans, or whatever you're wearing, for the sake of sunnah, it's fine. But if you're saying it's a sunnah, but you're really wearing it because you want to fit into a certain type of people that are fusaq, then that's also your intention is going to count there. So this is the conclusion of it. So let's get some green, right? Whatever that is, one piece of garment that's green and white, inshallah. And let's see if we can import some of this stuff from Yemen. Right? Some of these special shawls from Yemen for the sunnah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak ya dhal jalali wa likram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum. Bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna minal zalimin. Jazallahu anna muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.